Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode 138 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good, yeah.
Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed.
Yeah.
Plenty of sleep last night.
Yep.
Which is, yeah, we're going to talk about sleep, aren't we?
How much sleep do you need?
Personally?
Yeah.
I can get by all right. 6 hours, which is pretty much what I've been doing for the last 4 years. Yep. I'll try not to talk too much about my young children in this episode.
Why is that?
This is boring. You don't want to be. I don't want to be one of those people that just talks about the kids all the time. But it does change your schedule, doesn't it?
It does. But that's relevant, isn't it? Because the majority of people...
Careful.
Aren't you? Don't bang the mic.
Yeah.
The majority of people that listen to this have probably got kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or will have kids.
Yeah, it's part of the process. We'll come on to that shortly. Yeah, we're talking about insomnia, how to crack it, how to destroy, get rid of that insomnia. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website, isn't it?
It is.
As I've just told a member of my fellow Floor 6... colleague.
Yeah, we've moved studios, haven't we?
So we have.
We're up in this high rise in Liverpool.
Looking over
the docks. It's amazing.
It's brightening up as we speak.
Yeah,
isn't
yeah. It's amazing to be able to look over the sea. It's great.
Yeah, it's cool. I can just about see the world. New Brighton. I don't know if you can see it from your angle.
Yeah.
And the homeland.
Yeah.
But it's cool being over here.
Yeah.
We did have we recorded a couple of episodes recently and the audio might have not been quite as... Well, not that it's ever that great.
No, I think we had the microphone in the wrong place, so it was bouncing.
Yeah. I'll tell you what that alarm is.
What's that?
Next door, the office next door, he's a diamond guy. He's a jeweller.
All right.
But he has diamonds in there, and he has his own personal security system for his office. I've often wondered how thick these walls are.
Whether you could burrow through.
Punch a hole through, or he's got some kind of steel shell.
Yeah, it's a really interesting environment, this, because it has that sense about there's lots of people doing things. It's almost like a hive of activity and ideas.
Yeah.
And people putting stuff together. And as you go round, because there's glass fronts on the offices, as you walk around the corridor, around the floor, you can see lots of people that are kind of engaged.
It's cool, man. Yeah, slowly getting to know folks on this floor. I mean, a lot of the floors in this building are taken up by whole companies, so there's some big companies in this building. But... sixth floor is just open to anyone, and we have our own little pod here. It's cool, isn't it?
It's good. So do you kind of congregate in the kitchen and stuff? Is that where you meet? Is that the...
Yeah, well, we're lucky here because we're right opposite the kitchen, so I get to see everyone coming and going, and I give them a little wave and what have you. So a lot of... I mean, not everyone is a business owner on this floor. Some people, you know, work for the company, so they go in there to have their lunch on their lunch break.
All right.
I don't really have... I have lunch at my desk and all that. Just crack on through.
Lunch in the pod.
Yeah. It's cool. We're getting a bit sidetracked.
No, it's a bit...
I had some messages, because last week I think we said we apologise for talking about nothing for the first few minutes, but I had a few people email me just saying, we like that bit. We love it.
Yeah. No, people said that to me too. Someone said to me, it makes you two humans. You're not just talking at me. You know, they feel like we're sharing a part of us.
We actually seem like human beings.
Yeah. We're not robots.
We're not really, actually, though. We're just, we're just...
I'm an automaton, really.
Self-development, yeah.
Yeah.
Machines, hey-ho. Yeah. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Check it out for show notes, links. There's lots of links that I'm putting on for this week's episode, and obviously all previous archive shows are on there as well. Take a look. We've had lots of subscribers recently as well, signing up for all sorts of reasons, but I'm assuming the free meditation files that you get when you put your email address in the box doing the trick. Lots of people using them.
One of the things that will be available on the site, which you and I need to sort out, is that I've been running some mindfulness programs within the some of the NHS settings that I'm in. And I've been developing some resources for that. They'd be useful to pop up.
Okay.
Stage meditation. So taking people from doing a few minutes to try and build that up.
Okie dokie.
Yeah.
Okay. Job for Ed.
Good. Yeah.
Job for the boys.
Good job for Ed.
Amory, you can chip in as well. Yeah. Right, okay. We're talking about sleep. Now, we have done a few episodes on sleep in the past, which I'll link to in the show notes. But I want to speak a bit more specifically about insomnia this week, which a couple of people have emailed in over the previous weeks and months, so let's have a crack at it. I'm going to put a link, first of all, to insomnia from Wikipedia, just to kind of get, so people can get a bit more of a accurate description of it, because I want to differentiate just between people that are struggling to sleep and then actual, how that drifts into insomnia. So can you talk about that initially?
Well, I think that the issue about insomnia starts off with, and I want to make this statement at the beginning, is that in our urbanised society, we've got into the habit of sleeping for a big block of time, working for a big block of time. And so, like, the idea was, you spent a third of your life working, a third of your life socialising, and a third of your life asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, that is a really unnatural way to live and to think, because in an ordinary situation where we weren't locked into these office time, factory time, time, diary time, human beings would have been working with nature. So on the days when the weather was impossible to work in, you'd stay at home around the fire and do other things, yeah?
Yep.
But the idea that people would sleep for this block of time, like they would work for a block of time, is nonsense. And it's for most people...
It's a conspiracy, man.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it is. most people don't naturally sleep for a big block of time.
Yeah.
And when you look at the Mediterranean issue where people have the siesta in the afternoon, most people, their flat time, their dip in the day, is middle afternoon. So it's like sometime between kind of 2:30 to 5. Most people have a flat time.
This is something that certain communities in the world deal with better than others.
Yeah, they acknowledge that.
I think in Britain we have a tendency just to ignore it and
just keep on going.
Keep calm and carry on.
Keep on going and keep on going and keep on going. And that does take its toll.
Yeah. I was reading about, obviously, there's the Spanish guys in the Mediterranean have their siesta time.
Yeah.
Which is cool, and the Brits kind of look down on that a bit. Weaklings, didn't it? Going for a nap in the afternoon. Secretly, obviously, we're all super jealous. But I also watched this. I was watching someone on YouTube, as I do a lot, about kind of work-life stuff. And in France, how the working lunch in France is quite a lot longer than ours. I mean, there was one businessman talking, so whether he represents all the French society, not sure. But, you know, he was saying how they like to take 2 hours for lunch. Take the time with it, go out for a meal. None of this sandwich at a desk.
But that's the point, isn't it? It's like we're talking about people that have the consciousness and awareness to need to step out from where they are for a period of time, whether it's half an hour, 2 hours.
Yeah.
As opposed to our current approach, which is you eat a sandwich at your desk while you keep working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Gandhi. Favourite quote, Gandhi will take an hour out every day to meditate and look after himself because he works so hard, and if he doesn't do that, he can't. But if he's really, 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 really busy, then he takes out 2 hours because he needs to look after himself even more. And we keep getting into this habit of doing the reverse of what we should normally do.
Yeah.
Yeah. The idea that to get things done, we might actually do it better if we do it less, seems counterintuitive, but all the evidence is that if you take breaks during the day and you stop doing this mad running at it, for some people are working for 12, 14 hours, that kind of thing. If you stop doing that and you start breaking that up, you actually become more efficient and you get more done.
Yeah.
Yeah, the longer you work like that, the less efficient you become.
Parkinson's law as well, they call kind of work expands to fill the amount of time you have and all that. I give myself less time in the office than I would if I was working from home now. I used to, you know, work 9 to 5-ish. But now I skip the mad morning rush commute, so I kind of get the office 9:30, 9:45.
Yeah.
I didn't today. And I get off about 3:30 to miss the mad rush on the train. So, I mean, I've got to get home as well to 4:15, 4:15, so I can start getting tea ready for the fam.
Yeah.
And all that, and enjoy dinner with my family. Yeah, that's a conscious decision. So I have a 6-hour block for work rather than 8-hour, and I get more done in here anyway, just because it's a better environment to work in. I'm more efficient with that time.
Yeah. But then if you go back to one of your favourite books about the 4-hour week, 4-hour working week, it's like if we change our attitude to work, then the world changes.
Yeah.
But we are locked into this madness of great blocks of time doing things. So, yeah. So that's my first question is, if anybody listening to this actually looks at their sleep cycle, do they actually need to sleep for 8 hours, or would they be better breaking that up into other bits?
Yeah, do you think we put too much pressure on ourselves to have this block of sleep then?
But we're told, aren't we? We're told that that's what you should do.
So you're in bed, say, 10 o'clock, the lights are off, you've done all your cool wind-down stuff, no lights, but your body's not actually ready to go to sleep. But then that creates this set of this cycle of anxiety itself, because I should be asleep and I'm not. I can't sleep. Why?
And then you get Coué's law of reversed effort, and then you just cannot do it. And one of the problems is someone says to you somewhere along the line that you should have 8 hours of sleep.
Mm.
So if you have 7 hours of sleep, do you think, I feel deprived now?
Yeah.
Yeah? and the issue is about where do these figures come from?
Well, you've got some figures.
Well, I think we should stick them up with the notes.
Well, you put a link up and it'll be on the show.
It'll be here.
That's how it works,
yeah,
Sean.
That's how it works. it's the National Sleep Foundation, but they're saying they've just updated their all their sleep figures. But they reckon that what's happening at the moment is tiny newborns up to 3 months sleep for up to 17 hours a day.
Yep.
Infants up to 11 months sleep up to 15 hours a day. Toddlers up to 2 years sleep up to 14 hours a day. Preschoolers up to 13 hours. School age kids, they're talking about 6 to 13, up to 11 hours. Teenagers, they used to say 14 to 17, and now they're saying it's about 8 to 10. And I'm not sure about that. Anyway, but the younger adults, 7 to 9 hours. Adults, 7 to 9 hours, same kind of thing. And people 65 plus, like 7 to 8 hours. Now, we know of loads of people, of which the most famous is Maggie Thatcher, who would say, I get by on 4 hours a night.
Sure.
Yeah. Whether she did 4 hours during the week and the weekend she had a lie in, I don't know. Mm. Most people that do have short sleep cycles during the week whilst they're functioning and doing stuff, very often at the weekend will have some chill out time,
yep,
where they might, you know, sleep more.
Sure.
But the issue of things like power napping comes into it. And also, if you talk to people that do a lot of meditation, mindfulness or yoga, they sleep less. But that's because in the mindfulness and in the yoga, you're catching up on that vital part of your system, which happens in sleep.
Yeah, so it's doing the same job. But
yeah, in a different way.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not snoring.
No. So insomnia. So like insomnia is two varieties, really. One is I can't get to sleep. The other one is I can get to sleep, but I keep waking up. Yeah. Now, I can't get to sleep could be a chemical issue, or it could be, as in an endorphin in the brain issue, or it could be an emotional issue. Then we're talking about basically depressions and anxieties.
Sure.
Yeah. Both of which involve rumination. So we'd end up lying in bed ruminating when we should be asleep.
Okay.
And the classic is you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, should be asleep, and you're ruminating on chopping someone else up or whoever you're angry with rather than being asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all the issues about letting go and learning to not hold on to negativity is very often a part of sleep process.
Okay.
So the whole kind of mindfulness and stuff to live in the present is actually very important when you start to look at sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other thing that is key in sleep pattern is dreaming.
Is that stuff you're looking for when you're speaking to people that are having serious trouble?
Well,
my questions you're asking.
My questions when I meet someone for the first time and we're kind of taking a history of what's going on. The questions include things like, what's your sleep pattern like? You know, how do you sleep? When do you sleep? What kind of quality of sleep do you have?
Mm-hmm.
And then the follow-up question on that is usually, what's your dream pattern like? What goes on? And some people will say to me, well, I don't dream. Well, actually, everybody dreams, is whether you remember it or not.
Yeah.
And sometimes when people are in insomnia, they can go into deep sleep, non-rapid eye movement, which is body rest. As soon as they start to dream, they wake up. discharging themselves from sleep. And that can either be because the dreams are highly technicolor and terrifying, or that it's a repetitive dream they have again and again and again. Sometimes it is dreams that we don't know. We just awake, and maybe we wake up feeling anxious, but we can't remember the dream.
Yeah.
But in those cases, usually therapy, psychotherapy is important. You know, what's happened is you've got a box in your attic, which is full of stuff which needs sorting out.
Mm-hmm.
It needs taking down the charity shop and dumping. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. One of my points further down my list, which we'll come to now instead, is I take it people should reach out for help or advice before they nip down the chemist and buy some sleeping tablets.
I think it depends on what's
going on. I've never tried, actually. Do they even work?
Yeah, people use calms and stuff like that. You know, which...
Nitol?
Yeah. They're kind of usually kind of herbally-based stuff.
Mm.
But you can, if you go to the tea shop that does the herbal teas, you can get good night teas. They're full of things like valerian and stuff that calm your system down.
Right.
And let you go. So, I mean, you can get those in a tea form, in a cup of tea. How much of our sleep pattern is to do with lifestyle? I do all the kind of things that I would say to people that you shouldn't do. So, like, I will work till 10 o'clock. I will go and cook a meal, eat a meal, you know, maybe like a big bowl of pasta or something, and then go to bed, you know, just after 11, which you should never do. I think that in that individual sense, it's okay for me because that's the way my system works. For lots of people to have that kind of food at that time and then go to bed would keep them awake or would give them bellyache or something.
Yep.
You know, and that kind of stuff doesn't bother me at all. But generally, you shouldn't eat for a couple of hours before you go to sleep. You shouldn't be drinking coffee or tea. Alcohol affects your sleep pattern. You tend to get a deeper sleep, but it's not a rest sleep. So you wake up feeling groggy and hungover, and you know it's because your mind
isn't switching off properly.
Yeah, but also it's what it does to your musculature as well. You know, when you have had too much booze and your legs don't work, you know, and your tongue doesn't work, your whole system isn't working properly.
Right.
So it doesn't rest. It doesn't, you know, your body is concerned with detoxifying itself. So your liver's working overtime to get all the stuff out of your system.
Okay.
Because your liver's saying, you've just tried to poison me with alcohol.
Mm. Then there's the whole, yeah, no screens before bed.
Well, I think that...
Which I'm useless at, yeah. I can't.
Again, you see, I'd get into bed and I would just check my emails on, and then I put the pad down and go to sleep. But I'm used to doing that, and I have my own relaxation going into sleep routine, which is like the deep relaxation that we give away on the site. You know, it's all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The thing for most people is... this would be a classic. The person is on the sofa and they feel really tired and they're nodding off in front of the television and they think, I really need to go to bed. So what they do is they've got their brains nicely going off to sleep. They're in the subdued light of the sitting room.
Beautiful.
And then what they do is they go into the bathroom and turn on a bright light in front of a mirror to clean their teeth and their brain wakes up. And then they go and get into bed and they say, this is really weird. I felt really tired downstairs and now I'm wide awake again.
So you've been better off just falling asleep in front of the telly?
Or just creeping upstairs, forget cleaning your teeth, and just crawl into bed and get sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And because of that waking your brain up stuff and the issue about the light waking your brain up, things like pads and phones and televisions in the bedroom should be banned, really.
Yeah. We just got a telly in our room for the first time in like 10, 15, well, since we've lived together, Bethan and I.
Yeah.
But interestingly, I haven't even used it yet. I've had it in about 3 or 4 weeks.
Right.
We haven't got an aerial in the, so we can't plug it into the telly. I've got my Nintendo out of the loft and I've plugged that in because I want to have a nostalgic memory trip from some of the old games I used to play.
All right.
But I haven't got time, so I haven't been able to do that yet.
Right.
So we haven't actually used it yet. We've got into the habit, which I'm a bit concerned about.
Yeah.
But yeah, all that stuff helps. Apple have just... I don't know if it's been released in the latest update to the phone software and iPad software, whether it's in the next batch or whatever. But they're releasing something because they want to help people who struggle with screen time and the certain type of light that a backlit phone or tablet will give out. Because we all, so many of us read first thing before bed, either checking Facebook or whatever your routine is, websites and what have you. So the software gives out less blue light of a certain from the screen, which Apple are hoping will help.
Yeah, that's the light that wakes your brain up.
Yeah, which is quite interesting. So
if you're using things like iBooks or Kindle, stuff like that, even on an iPad, you can change the settings, can't you? So you have a black screen with just light white. Light
yeah, well, I never found the lowest brightness setting on my iPhone to be low enough for dark rooms, but. Yep. Very deep within the settings, in the accessibility settings, is a little shortcut that you can make it really, really, really low brightness, which I find really useful, actually. So why they don't make it that by default, you know, who knows, but I'll put a link up in the show notes.
Yeah, I'd like to be able to do that. Mm. That would be good. I think one of the other things, too, is that if you've got a partner and your partner's asleep, and you are using a tablet, even you're saying that even on the darkest setting, it's still quite light. That actually affects your partner too.
Yeah,
yeah, because you get passive smoking, you get passive tableting when you're in bed, don't you? So to have that, so you could dull the screen right down, would be a really useful thing, not just for you but for your partner as well.
Yeah, I mean, all these things we're talking about, things that people shouldn't be doing anyway. Though, you know, we should be. No screen time at all is the goal, is it?
Yeah. I mean, ideally, the room that you sleep in, that you spend a third of your life in, should be a sleep room. It should have a bed that you've invested the kind of money that you would invest in a car in, so that it's the best bed that you could possibly have for you.
Yeah.
Whether you like soft, medium, hard, big, short, small, whatever it is. If you think about the money that you spend on a car, and the amount of time you spend in the car, and the amount of time you spend on a bed, or the amount of money you spend on a bed, and then the amount of time you spend in bed, it's like the two things don't match, do they?
No.
Whereas the room we sleep in, we should actually give the sleep time that we have more value than we do.
Yep.
We should prepare for it like we would prepare to go out somewhere. We should create the right atmosphere and the right environment for us to sleep in, and then we should go into our sleep pod and enjoy that third of our lives in sleep and have a good time.
Sleep pod, I like the sound of that.
Sometimes if you are into sleep and you want to develop sleep as an interesting space, there's a massive amount of work on lucid dreaming, on being able to enjoy your sleep in other ways.
Yeah,
And learning to direct your dreams, and the kind of creativity that you have in your head could be greater than any book you'd read or any film that you'd watch.
No doubt. Have you seen Inception yet, that movie?
Yeah, yeah.
That's deep.
But that's like a dream inside a dream.
Dreams within dreams.
That's really weird.
Planning ideas and all that stuff. That's incredible stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, no, that's very, very powerful ideas.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that a lot of things happen above cognition that we don't understand, that we're not aware of. And whether we see those as kind of psychic or magical or whatever words people would use. But there is a whole world. And if you just think about the issues of your dream self, when you do remember your dreams, and the stark difference in the reality between being in a dream and then being outside of a dream, you know, being awake.
Yep.
Yeah, and usually you can remember that part of yourself for a short period of time, but if you don't write the dream down, very very often you've lost it.
Okay, cool. There's an article which I'll link to in the show notes, 9 Tips to Cure Insomnia.
Yep.
On a site called summertomato.com, which is pretty cool, actually.
Yep.
By a lady called Dara Rose. Daria? D-A-R-Y-A.
Yep. Dara.
Sorry, Dara. But yeah, actually, I know who her husband is because he's a technology guy. Kevin Rose, who is a pretty cool fellow as well. Anyway, some good tips.
One last thing I want to mention here, which is the darkest end of insomnia, and which is one of the reasons why, if you are developing insomnia, you need to do something about it. There's something which in the trade is described as fatal insomnia, for two reasons. sometimes, can you remember when we had the whole mad cow disease thing? So you had CJD.
Yep. Vaguely. I remember the images of
cows stumbling around. Yeah. And what had happened was the prions, and it was the relationship with eating, because we were feeding beef to cattle. That's what we were doing. But it affected the prions, which are like proteins in the brain, so that they eat the middle of your brain. You get this kind of hypothalamus decay, which is why the animals were walking around all over the place and falling over and stuff.
Yep.
And in the end, it kills you. There is a form of insomnia that comes from misshapen prions that are in the thalamus in your brain, and they start to damage and destroy the brain. So, and it's important that if you do have prolonged insomnia, to actually talk to a medical physician about it.
Of course.
Yeah. The other bit, of, the other fatal part of insomnia, if you want to get someone uptight, and they do this if they're going to brainwash somebody, is that you get into sleep deprivation. But the key bit is you get into dream deprivation, because in sleep, deep sleep, body repair. Dream sleep, emotional repair. If you stop somebody dreaming, they start to get very twitchy and uptight. And it only takes about a week of lack of dreams for people start to get kind of irritable, anxious, and start to feel like they're losing it.
Okay.
And as any parent, as you know, if you've had a child that's kept you up all week and you had just a week, yeah, you do start to go a bit unhinged.
Mm.
Yeah, and that's very real.
Yes.
But the thing is that if you do have prolonged periods of insomnia, you need to go and do something about it.
Mm.
Yeah, because it will drive you bonkers, and it will drive your family bonkers. In the same way that we say, if someone in the family is taking drugs, then the whole family has a drug problem. Well, if someone in the family's got insomnia, the whole family has an insomnia problem.
Yeah, and it's like for sure.
Yeah, we've got a social responsibility to our nearest and dearest to go and do something about it.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
I won't go through all these points. I'll just link to it, but because most of them we've covered actually. But there's one that I will just touch on before we finish, and it's the point about exercise.
Yeah.
And how much that can help for a whole range of issues, but sleep, big time. And the article says, but the best sleep I ever got was when I was marathon training at 5 a.m. every weekday before school. And it doesn't have to be exercise. It could be, well, for some people. I remember the best sleep I was ever getting. Well, perhaps there's nothing scientific about that statement. I had a summer job working at a food depot for a supermarket. And you know, it was like I was doing like 6-8 hour shifts, carting pallets of food around, putting them in different trolleys for different stores. And it was full on, man. It was hard work, but I'd get home and I would just crash.
Slept well.
And I would sleep so well. So it's just that thing about physical exercise, which we're not getting enough of in general, are we?
And naturally, we're designed to move, not to sit down. I mean, you're sat at this desk here. Although the view is lovely, you're not doing what your body was designed to do.
No, right. Yeah.
Unless at least you go out, which is the whole thing about you're saying about the French taking like 2 hour lunches. If you actually go out and actually exercise, just walking around for a bit, it changes your life.
Just start with walking. Yeah, I mean, to mention marathon training, which is cool. I'm not a big runner. Is I just worry that my knees can't take it long term. Get a bike, go for a bike ride. It's such a cool feeling. Just,
I think when you're talking about exercise and sleep, what triggers in my head is the issue of exercise and weight loss and sleep. Because one of the things that does mess your sleep up is if you're too heavy, you get a compression, which compresses your lungs and your throat so that you can't breathe properly.
Yeah,
And then you can't sleep properly. It all kind of ties
together. It's a knock-on effect.
Yeah.
So I think that's, it's point four on the list here, but I think just moving your body more can make such a difference, you know.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be training for a marathon. You just be going for a little stroll each day and take it from there.
Yeah.
Get moving, folks. Get moving.
Yeah.
You got a resource of the week, Sean?
Well, I've linked to the Sleep Health Journal, which is a part of the Sleep Foundation. But amazing, you can get it online, and loads of articles on sleep.
Cool.
You know, so and there's loads of ideas, resources, things that you can use. So I recommend that. It's good.
Jolly good. Mine is, well, scrolling down our little show notes, there's loads of stuff here. It's a series of blog posts and articles on vice.com, which is a kind of new media news source. Some video stuff in there as well, but the title of it is You'll Sleep When You're Dead.
So you don't need to now.
Yeah, but there's a whole series of interesting articles and people that have been kind of trying to hack their sleep, that trendy word, sleep hacking and all that.
Yeah.
Some really interesting stuff there, so I will link to that. Cool.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, next week we're talking about mindfulness, meditation and relaxation. So yep. Loosely linked to what we've just been on about, but kind of trying to differentiate between things.
I think that the next podcast is really important, because if you get the mindfulness, the meditation, the relaxation right, then the sleep pattern improves amazingly.
Yeah, it's a big part of the key. So yeah. If you like this week's show, and you want to know more, you've got to listen to next week. We're like Netflix. We're like Netflix, aren't we? Just yeah. Hank, you've got to see that next episode. Like me.
You should have cliffhangers at the end.
Yeah. cool. All right. So livingthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter for all sorts of other nuggets of wisdom and what have you. Instagram too. And share this show with a pal if you could. Just spread it far and wide. If you think there's someone that is struggling with sleep specifically on this week, just send the link on to them and see what they think. We would appreciate that massively.
That's good.
Yeah. All right. You're happy, Sean?
I'm happy. I'm always happy.
I'll see you next week.
You take care. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.